From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Deepak Bhatt, Senior Associate Editor for ACC.org. I'm filling in this week for Dr. Kim Eagle on Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. The first article that I'm going to mention is one in the European Heart Journal, the SOLVE-TAVI trial. First off, I have to say I really like that acronym. This was a randomized trial of 447 patients with severe aortic stenosis undergoing transfemoral TAVI, or as we often say in the US, TAVR, comparing a self-expanding valve with a balloon expandable valve. And just so it's clear, I'll say what the valves are, the Evolut R and the Sapien 3. The primary endpoint was all-cause mortality, stroke, moderate or severe aortic regurgitation, and permanent pacemaker implantation, and this was a 30-day endpoint. And the bottom line was that these newer generation TAVR valves were largely equivalent. So I think this is good news for the TAVR community. You can use whichever valve you want and like, and maybe if it comes to particular valves being cheaper, that might be the determining factor. The next article I'm going to cover is one from JACC Cardiovascular Interventions. It is a pooled analysis of five different prospective cohort studies looking at FFR, or fractional flow reserve. Unlike other sort of FFR technologies, this particular one that was examined is an angiogram-derived fractional flow reserve. So the purpose of this analysis was to see how this angiogram-derived FFR compared with regular invasive wire-based FFR. 700 lesions were analyzed, and FFR angio showed a sensitivity of 91%, a specificity of 94%, and a diagnostic accuracy of 93%. Of course, further studies are needed. Nevertheless, these results are quite tantalizing and potentially could bring FFR measurements into clinical use in every diagnostic angiogram, adding physiology to anatomy in one-stop shopping in those patients who are going to be in the cath lab anyway. The final study I'll mention is one from the European Heart Journal that examined physical activity, cardiorespiratory fitness, and cardiovascular outcomes in people with atrial fibrillations called the HUNT study. Over 1,000 patients with atrial fibrillation were followed from the HUNT study. The authors examined the association between self-reported physical activity and the estimated cardiorespiratory fitness with the outcomes. And the outcomes of interest were all-cause mortality, cardiovascular disease mortality, morbidity, and stroke. As it turns out, the AFib patients who actually met the physical activity guidelines had lower risks of all-cause mortality and cardiovascular mortality compared with inactive patients. CVD morbidity and stroke also trended towards being lowered. They didn't quite hit statistical significance, but everything was going in the right direction. And there seemed to be somewhat of a dose response such that each one met higher estimated cardiorespiratory fitness was associated with lower risks of all-cause mortality, of CV mortality, and morbidity. So this is yet another study suggesting that regular physical activity and improved cardiorespiratory fitness in AF patients can help reduce their morbidity and mortality. It sort of ties into the prior work also showing that decreasing weight in obese folks with atrial fibrillation can help their overall prognosis, including their AFib burden, and reducing that. So overall, it's, I guess, a consistent message in the AFib patients as it is in the non-AFib patients. The more physically active you are, the more you exercise, the better off you are. And that might provide some reassurance for some folks out there maybe that are worried that if they've got atrial fibrillation, that exercise might somehow be bad for them. So it's a nice study, really adds to what we already know. All right, well, that's it for this week. Thanks so much for listening to Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. All the topics I discussed today can be found on the American College of Cardiology's website. All of these and a lot more in terms of journal scan coverage and interesting cases and clinical trial coverage. So please go ahead and find us there or wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great week. Thanks.